Genetics, family history behind plaintiff's mental health struggles, not social media, says defense expert. Los Angeles, an expert witness called by defendants in a high-stakes trial considering whether social media companies designed their platforms to be addictive to children despite known harms, on Tuesday told a Los Angeles Superior Court jury that genetics and external stressors, not social media addiction, likely led a 20-year-old plaintiff to develop multiple psychiatric disorders. Dr. Sonia Krishna, a child and adolescent psychiatrist based in Austin, Texas, told the court that the plaintiff, identified in court documents as Kaylee GM or KGM, did not in fact suffer from a clinical social media addiction, and that her mental health outcomes would have been the same without exposure to social media. "I would not say she has a social media addiction," Krishna said, acknowledging a period of heavy use but suggesting there were other reasons that drove it. "I don't think she had impairment in her functioning. She was able to attend school every day. Learning disorders diagnosed since kindergarten, a volatile family life, genetically determined risk, difficulty with peer relationships, and bullying online and off, all drove Ms. GM, as defense attorneys called her, to develop anxiety, depression, and body dysmorphic disorders, according to Krishna. "I think number one for most mental health disorders is genetics. And it sounds like it goes back to her grandparents," Krishna said. The witness did not elaborate on an alleged history of mental illness among the plaintiff's grandparents or whether that information came from her medical records. The current case, which names Instagram and YouTube as defendants, is one of a handful of bellwether trials expected to have profound impact on how thousands of related personal injury civil cases, brought by children, parents, school districts, and attorneys general across the country, will play out. Kaylee also sued Snapchat and TikTok, but both companies settled privately days before the trial began. They remain named in related cases. To a contentious battle over the meaning and import of social media addiction, a relatively novel phenomenon that is by no means standardized in terms of diagnoses, treatment, or even an understanding of its true scope, the witness added a new take: the idea that problematic social media use is more often a coping mechanism in response to underlying psychiatric illness. "A lot of teens are on social media, so it comes up very often in my conversations. Most are able to have a healthy relationship with it, but some people use it too much," said Krishna, who sees patients remotely in her private practice. "It's usually because they're trying to cope with an underlying psychiatric disorder. When she can treat that disorder, the compulsive social media use symptoms usually go away," Krishna said. That contrasts with what witnesses for the plaintiff have called a maladaptive coping mechanism that itself became a debilitating illness for Kaylee. Experts testified about skyrocketing rates of social media addiction among adolescents, and about a growing body of research that points to an array of resulting psychological harms. Defendants YouTube and Instagram, the plaintiff's complaint alleges, have borrowed heavily from mechanisms used in slot machines to engineer features and algorithms that hook users and keep them trapped in a vicious cycle of addiction, withdrawal, and regret. Adolescents, whose brains are until the age of 25 developing the scaffolding they'll have for the rest of their lives, are especially vulnerable to triggers and tricks that tap into primitive reward pathways in the brain and keep users returning, even in the face of obvious and mounting harms, plaintiff's experts argued. Behavioral addiction, including social media addiction, they contend, is virtually indistinguishable from substance addiction. Krishna argued Tuesday that when underlying issues such as learning disabilities were addressed in high school, Kaylee's long history of poor grades finally began to change. "Those disabilities, including attention deficit disorder and a specific impairment in mathematics, would have been something the plaintiff was born with and were documented before she began using social media," she said. Kaylee testified earlier in the trial that she began using YouTube at age 6 and found herself routinely ensnared by app features such as infinite scroll that would keep her engaged far longer than she wanted to be, including at night and during school. even in the face of bullying and feelings of low self-esteem exacerbated by her use of beauty filters, Kaylee said, she couldn't stay away. Krishna argued the plaintiff's anxiety began before she began using social media. She based her evaluation on both a 3-hour interview with KGM and on more than 200 medical records dating back to early childhood. In psychiatry, I wouldn't use the term addiction, it's not even in the DSM for other diagnoses, it's stigmatizing. They're called use disorders, Krishna said. During cross-examination, plaintiff's attorney Mark Lanier grilled the witness over both her qualifications and the ethics of her testimony. Where defense attorneys attempted to impugn the qualifications of Dr. Kara Bagot, a witness for the plaintiff who was a co-investigator in a landmark NIH-funded study tracking how social media and other childhood experiences are impacting the brains of nearly 12,000 children, Lanier went after Krishna's lack of addiction research experience. "You don't have any addiction expertise, do you?" he prodded. Krishna responded that she has not done a fellowship in addiction but sees patients who suffer from addiction disorders in her private practice. Reading back transcripts of her evaluation interview with KGM in which Krishna asks her if she thinks difficulties with friends and school led her to seek out social media to make more friends, Lanier suggested Krishna led the patient to a biased conclusion after attending multiple strategy meetings with defense attorneys. "You told her to describe it as a coping mechanism," he said. "You were asking lawyer-quality leading questions, weren't you?" Krishna said she also asked a lot of open-ended questions throughout the interview. "I tried my best to understand her symptoms." Where Lanier suggested Krishna's evaluation diverted from all KGM's previous therapists and doctors, who have all noted social media in some way contributed to her mental health challenges, the psychiatrist pushed back. "They clearly describe in their records so many risk factors, and they never once did an intervention for social media," Krishna said, stressing it was treatment for underlying conditions that resulted in improvements in the patient's life. Krishna acknowledged social media may have adversely affected Kaylee in terms of online bullying, which she described as content, but didn't play a part in her psychiatric diagnoses. "The case is narrowly focused on the design and function of platform features and algorithms, rather than third-party content, which is broadly protected by the First Amendment and Section 230 of the 1996 Communications Decency Act." Co-defendants also played a videotape deposition of Kristen Hendricks, formerly a director of product design and user experience research at Meta, who testified the company was unique in the tech world for giving research a seat at the table. Regarding a series of safety features, the take-a-break function, nighttime quiet mode, and nudges, the company introduced in the last several years, Hendricks said such changes were responses to user experience research. "We developed these features even though we know it would potentially upset teens in terms of their experiences and preferences because they were safer settings," she said. Also in a videotape deposition presented to the jury, Alana Davis, a user experience manager for Meta, testified about research she presented shortly after being hired in 2018 that contested emerging claims of social media addiction, and suggested reframing the addiction narrative to differentiate social media from substance abuse. Meta CEO Mark Zuckerberg, Instagram chief Adam Mosseri and YouTube's top engineer Christos Goodrow have all denied their products are engineered to be addictive. In a call with reporters on Tuesday, YouTube representatives reiterated a distinction presented throughout trial, that the platform is a video streaming app like Netflix, not a social media platform in the functional sense that Instagram, Snapchat, or TikTok are. The company also argued there has been no medical evidence presented in the trial to prove KGM had an addiction to the platform, and in thousands of pages of medical records references to the app were only to benign uses like watching videos to help her sleep. During the trial, attorneys for the plaintiff have highlighted internal YouTube documents in which executives, project managers, and engineers suggested the company's mission was to make it more like an addictive experience that people would keep returning to, where the goal is not viewership, it's viewer addiction. Both sides are expected to conclude closing arguments Thursday, and a verdict could come as soon as Friday. If one or both co-defendants are found liable, and the jury finds they acted with malice by committing fraud or oppression, a second phase to determine punitive damage would follow. If there is no punitive finding, the jury could set a dollar amount when they deliver the verdict. Separate verdict forms will be given to the jury for Meta and Google. If both are found liable, jurors may allocate which party is more responsible than the other. 9 out of 12 jurors must vote in order for one or both defendants to be found liable.